Hello and welcome to episode 48 of the Just Keep Spinning podcast. My name is Andrea and I'm here with...
I'm Andrew.
And I'm just wanting to let you guys know some little behind the scenes insider information. This is probably like the fifth time we've tried to record this intro because I'm loud as fuck, apparently.
So we have new microphones and that seems to be an issue that we're trying to work around because it's picking up all the different sounds that we're not used to with our other cheap microphones.
Yeah, so if you notice a difference in our voices or maybe the sound quality, that could be why. So you never know, we might switch back. We'll see, because I feel like I sound so different in this mic that it's tripping me out. So, but anyhow, welcome to episode 48. For anyone that may be subscribed to us, they would know that we actually did release an episode before this that was more of like a touch base. And thank you to all of our subscribers. Again, you know, you can subscribe, rate, and review. We're available pretty much on any podcast platform, you know, and especially on places like Apple Podcasts. It's really important if you guys are able to just doing something easily as just reviewing us with stars or putting comments, you know, that'd be really great to try to just push the podcast more out there because we are showcasing other people. You can, like I said, find us on pretty much any podcast platform. If we are not on your preferred podcast platform, please let us know and we'll try to see what we can do to get on there. And I think we've said this in the previous episodes, but I'm going to hold Andrew to it. And we're actually going to be putting our episodes, our old catalog and further newer things on YouTube.
Yeah, that'll be something we are working on right now. We're working on a new logo to just put like as a background when we do the episodes on the YouTube.
The YouTube.
I sound like an old man saying the YouTube.
So, anyhow.
That sounds like I'm 85.
I totally lost track there because I thought I was with someone that was my age, but apparently I'm with like an 85-year-old. If you do, like I said, want to tell us like, hey, you guys should maybe be on this platform because this is my preferred platform, you can email us at justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. And you can also send us suggestions there because we did get, like I said, emails from people trying to check in on us, which we do greatly appreciate. And even if you just want to say, hey, I think that, you know, you should be interviewing this person, because what we're doing is doing all our interviews on Skype due to the pandemic. Obviously, we want to be as socially responsible as we can, but still provide content for you guys. And still just kind of be there. And I actually saw something that said that podcasts are actually on a down, like there's more, it's on an uptrend to create them, but a downtrend to listen to them, just because people don't have like those long commutes anymore. But we're still going to provide the content for you. No matter if it's one of you listening or tons of you listening, just because, like I said, we feel like there's a need for what we are providing and that it's a platform for everybody else.
Exactly. So, yeah, please let us know if you have any more if you have suggestions for this show, or if you want to be on the show, just let us know and we'll do what we can to get you on, or just hear your suggestions and different things like that.
Yeah, because if you feel like you want to discuss music with us or music culture within the Valley or just as a whole, we're always open to talking to anyone pretty much about it. And us, especially, like we said, incorporating the Skype interviews, which we were actually pretty nervous about doing. Well, I know I was really nervous about doing things because I feel like part of the, connecting with someone is actually physically seeing them, meeting them, and making eye contact. But so we're really apprehensive, and that's kind of too why we hadn't recorded in a while. But then once we did our first interview via Skype, which is actually our guest this week, it went really well. So we felt really positive about it. So thank you to mystery guest number 48.
Yeah, you guys will find out in a minute.
You'll find out who they are. So thank you so much to you for, just agreeing to do the interview and things like that. And just being there for us and being a great supporter of us, and not just us, but the community as a whole. And we're actually going to do a quick corrections corner, because this person's date of birth, apparently we didn't know how to math, and Andrew even used the calculator.
I didn't use the calculator. Not this
you
time.
You did, because this is what I remember.
We don't need to talk about it. We don't need to talk about it. Well, I will admit that I completely math wrong, and that's okay.
But I'll just say that when he was reading the songs, I was like, This just doesn't seem right. It didn't seem right.
And
I think the person was just too nice to say something.
She's all, this shit is not right. You guys are like 10 years off.
Exactly.
And it was 10 years off. And so we're going to talk about, we're going to give her,
a corrections corner
on the top five songs on her date of birth.
No.
Oh, no, no, on her, when she was 14.
When she was 14.
Number five was Soul Asylum, Runaway Train. Four was Jodeci, Lately. Number three was Tag Team, Womp. There it is. Was that Whoop?
There it is. You know?
Oh, Whoop. Well, you know.
I know
the song.
Okay, then why are you asking how to pronounce it? I don't know,
because it just says Womp. I guess it just reading it just sounds funny. Number two is Dream Lover, Mariah Carey. And number one was UB40, Can't Help Falling in Love.
So do you know most of the songs on there?
I know quite a few of them. Mm-hmm. I know the Womp, and I know Runaway Train and Dream Lover. I can't say I know the UB40. I'm sure I know it, but I just don't remember it. And same thing with the Jodeci.
It's the cover of the Elvis song, I Can't Help Falling in Love with You.
I'm sure, but
oh my lord! Come on,
I just
again.
Maybe I know. I
think
know
of
the,
your sister.
I know the Elvis song, but I don't necessarily know this cover.
Okay, maybe don't. That sounded wrong. Think of your sister with that song.
Yeah, let's stop right there.
What I mean is, because his sister used it as one of her wedding songs. That's why.
Thank you for that correction corner. Right during the correction corner.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so sorry. You probably think Andrew's from like Alabama or something. No, he's not, okay? But anyhow, but we're so grateful. And we're going to be, as we said previously, I believe that we mentioned in the last, like, touch base, fine-tuning things. We're not going to be really doing any current events because there's no current events. And it was actually something that we had previously entertained just because we feel like it dates the podcast a bit, kind of. So, I mean, of course, whoever we're interviewing, we'll have them mention whatever their current event is, but we won't be highlighting so much current events. You know, we'll still be highlighting things going on, especially if they're resources with everything going on right now. But we're not going to be focusing so much on that. So,
unless it's like a consistent residency that's like every week, every time, that never misses, like 6:00 Tuesdays.
Yeah, for the most part, Dejens is pretty on top of doing 6:00 Tuesdays. He streams it on Facebook, not IG or like Twitch or anything. So if you just follow his personal page, or even like he has like a fan page that just is Degentrification, you can find it. He streams it on his personal page and on that page. So that's really cool. And that it's a little chat, so you get to kind of like interact with people on there if you want and comment. So it's kind of a way to stay within the community, to get the vibe of 6:00 Tuesdays. And you can also, you know, if you want to support him, since he's like a working DJ, I can't remember what his PayPal is, but he does post it on there and he doesn't pressure you or anything. I think if you kind of have seen Degens play or anything, you kind of know his vibe. He's a pretty laid back guy. So, and he's very nice and very genuine. So, that's like a just for instance, an event that we would probably highlight, and other events like that happen around the valley that are just pretty consistent. Another thing is that we know that there's currently a lot more podcasts popping up. As I said, they're trending upward of being created and not so much as listened to. But I feel personally, I'm going to speak for myself, and Andrew can speak for himself when I'm done, is that we do provide a different perspective here. And that we are providing something for you that I think is that we do try. Because I know it's really cool not to care and not to give a fuck about things and just to be so blasé, you know, and to be like, oh, I don't care about anything. But I do personally care about what we provide to you, the content that we provide. I tell you, we try to be conscious and things like that. And so I just think the product that we're providing is like unique and special and has its own perspective. And you know, there's room for other podcasts and stuff, but I do feel like we're one of the, I don't want to say better, I really don't like using that word, but we're just providing a different perspective than everybody else.
I will say that we're better than other podcasts. And I'm all kidding aside, is that we, like Drea said, we just provide something different than everybody else. We do try to highlight, this podcast isn't just for us, it's for this community, for our state, and you know, expanding beyond our state if we choose to do so. And that's what it's about, and it's just about really really embracing music and embracing different personalities and different backgrounds that people come from and how they got to where they're at, whether it be record store owners or DJs or someone who's involved in the community.
Yeah, and especially just the arts in general, because right now the arts is really suffering, which we'll kind of get into a little bit later. And actually another segment that's going to be implemented to the show, and this is the first run of it, is going to be a segment with Mr. DJ My God Complex himself of Basement Tapes Phoenix, otherwise known as Ken.
Yeah, so we will play a little thought, Ken's thoughts of the week, and we will respond back to his thoughts. And so here is Ken's thought of the week.
Hey, Andrew and Andrea, this is Ken. First of all, I want to say welcome back. We missed you. We need the Just Keep Spinning podcast, and we're glad to have you guys back. So, for this week's thought, I was listening to Miguel, one of my favorite R&B artists currently, and I got to thinking about how he doesn't really get enough praise. A lot of it, I think, has to do with people looking at other artists that make similar music, like Frank Ocean, and giving him a lot of praise and heaping, you know, awards and things on him, and forgetting about Miguel. I think Miguel has like three stellar albums that I would call a classic, and he doesn't get enough credit. So I want to see what you guys thought about Miguel, not versus Frank Ocean, because I don't like to do that so much. It doesn't have to be that. They can both be great, but do you guys think Miguel gets the credit that he deserves? I would say no. Yep, that's it for this week. And I'm anxious to hear what you guys think about it. Thanks.
Okay, Dre, what do you think about that?
Okay, I think Andrew knows what I think about that. And I just want to say, after hearing that, I feel so validated. Like, I don't think... Okay, but why do I feel that way, Andrew?
So we actually had this discussion, myself and Andrea, before...
A few years ago.
A few years ago about Ken.
Was this before we had the podcast, though?
Yes, it was. So I ride hard for Frank Ocean. Even though Andrea is the one who introduced me to him, I ride hard for him. And like, I love Miguel, and I enjoy his music, and it's great. All the music he makes is great. I just have a preference. And so I prefer Frank Ocean. And like Ken said in the message, this isn't... Miguel versus Frank Ocean, but I prefer Frank Ocean, but I do think that Miguel does not get the praise he deserves. I will say that.
So do I feel Miguel gets the praise he deserves? What do you think, Andrew?
Andrea rides hard for Miguel.
Okay, first of all, let me clarify this. I love both Frank and Miguel, because I feel, as excuse me, Ken said, I'm like all tripped up because I'm like, oh, I'll get all like heated inside. I like both Frank and Miguel, and I feel like they aren't providing the same exact product. Obviously, they're both in the lanes of R&B, but they're both doing their own thing. But it comes to that thing of where people don't feel like there's room for more than one person to do something. And I feel like that's kind of what Miguel is victim of, is like the industry, even publications like Pitchfork and all the other stuff.
We'll get into Pitchfork.
Yeah, we'll get into that another day. But they only like push one type of artist to the forefront, and it's not that Frank doesn't deserve any of that love or praise or any of that, but Miguel deserves it as well, because I agree that he has three really solid albums. His first album, there are some decent tracks on there, but I wouldn't say, like, I could see why, maybe if that's the only thing you've listened to, why you would just be kind of questioning why people are like, what's the big thing about Miguel? But from Kaleidoscope Dream, Wild Heart, and War and Leisure, those are really great albums. And when they came out, I just could not understand, because Miguel was popping off a bit with Kaleidoscope Dream. And then I felt like he was picking up a lot of momentum, and then Wild Heart came out, and I just kind of felt like just a bit of it fell off. And Wild Heart is so insane to me. Like, I love all three, Kaleidoscope, Wild Heart, and War and Leisure, but Wild Heart is just, it just captures like this certain mood, and he has like this attitude in like this whole, the whole album, and I just love it because it's kind of cocky, kind of confident, but it's just like the way he just embraces it and goes with it is just so freaking awesome. And I don't know, you guys should just go listen to that. It's really, really good, and I just recommend that you guys do visit Miguel's discography. And if any of you, you know, want any suggestions on what tracks to listen to, go ahead, DM us on Just Keep Swinging Podcast on the IG, and I'll very much talk to you and suggest things to you.
Yeah, we'll share your thoughts with us. We'll, I'll probably put something in our story, like voting who you think, who you prefer, or who do you think gets more, who gets all the love and who doesn't.
Yeah, and like I said, even if you just want to DM us,
yeah,
sure. We're all good with that. Or even email us at justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. You know, got to get those plugs in.
All of them plugs. Where can you find, and Just Keep Spinning Podcast on Instagram, because that's our primary form of communication right now.
Mm-hmm. And we're actually on Facebook too, so we did make that Facebook page. We're in the middle of deconstructing things and putting like a new banner up and stuff, but we're still on there. You can actually DM us on there, and also comment on posts, because things do get cross-posted there if your kind of platform that you prefer is Facebook. But we are both active on IG, so. And so let's get back on track here and let's discuss our guests. So our guest is Miss Blanca, otherwise known as Blanquita Applebaum on IG, and she's actually the other half of Rec Room AZ, which is the event. It was at the Nile, correct? The Nile Coffee Shop?
Correct.
And so Ken, who we started this segment for Ken's Thought of the Day on this episode. But so it's really interesting just to hear Blanca's perspective, because you'll hear where her family's from and things like that and how they affected her. And Blanca's just a super chill, laid back, another person that I would use the word genuine with. And she's just a really dope person. And she's just really cool. So here's her story.
Actually, back number 48 of the Just Keep Spinning podcast. No, I looked it up right now.
Shit.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure either. So I looked it up and I was like, it's 48. So if I'm wrong, then you can blast me all over the internet. I don't care. But
yes, we're a huge audience.
Our huge audience. You can, but it's episode 48 of the Just Keep Spinning podcast. My name is Andrea, and I'm also here with...
I'm Andrew.
And we actually have a very special guest today. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, it's Blanca, better known as Blanquita Applebaum.
Yes, and people can find you on IG as Blanquita Applebaum, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Blanquita Applebaum.
And some of you might recognize Blanca if you do follow her, even if you just kind of into the record community here, because she works with a DJ and they kind of host a really cool event usually at a spot. So what exactly do you guys do there? Like, what is it called?
Ken, better known as DJ My God Complex, hit me up one day and he's like, hey, he already had this spot for the Nile on Friday nights, but he wanted to revamp it. So we kind of talked about having a bring your own vinyl night. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was awesome that he was asking me to do it with him. And that's how it came about. And then, you know, we just started hosting these bring your own vinyl nights, and they've been really cool. They've been really cool. People come out, they interact with each other, they interact with us, they play vinyl, we vibe out. It's really freaking cool.
Yeah, and that's cool. And I like that. When we saw, I don't know, we figured out how we met Ken. It was at the record show, right, Andrew? We talked about that because we're like, how the hell did we meet Ken?
Yeah, we had featured his one of his initial events there at the Nile. And then we asked to basically, we met him at the record show because we were selling, and then we asked to interview him. And then that's just how we've kind of been building our friendship since then.
Yeah, so...
Oh, wait, before you continue. Blanca is via Skype. This is our first Skype interview.
Yeah, so we're in quarantines, all of us, most of us. So we're kind of switching it up, trying to do the best we can to bring you guys content still and to bring you stories that we feel are important, because, as I always say, everyone has their own story, and I feel like it's really important that you hear how great someone is from themselves personally and not, like, me telling you, because I can tell you all day, Andrew can tell you all day, but it's always a lot better when you're able to connect with someone, and it makes you, I think, a little bit less apprehensive about supporting them or showing up, and just to grow familiarity in the community. So that's as we said before, that's why we started the podcast. And since I think you've listened to a few episodes, Blanca, you're familiar with the segment, correct, for about the top songs when you were born and then how?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll start with that. We'll first start with the top 10 songs because the list was too fire to just do five of when you were born. And then we'll switch gears and switch to the top five to when you were 14. And the number one song is supposed to be supposedly the song that defines your life. So let's go ahead and pull up the top 10, Andrew.
Before that, where can we listen to us, Rhea?
Oh, see, I'm rusty. I'm
damn,
rusty.
Super rusty.
Get the oil can out. I'm like, let's see. You can find us pretty much anywhere podcasts are available. You can find us on IG at Just Keep Spinning Podcast. You can email us at justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Podcast platforms, I don't even know that they existed because we get like the stats and all the other stuff. And there was actually surprisingly, so we had an episode before this that was just a touch base and we didn't really post it on the IG, but there we were shocked there was actually people listening. Yeah. There were subscribers like still out there faithful almost a year later. So thank you for those people that listened. I do appreciate it. And but let's go ahead and transition. I'm gonna do the top 10, Blanca. So I'm gonna obviously shout out the year you were born. And I hope you don't mind. Well, I know I thought you were in hey, aging is a privilege, so it's not a bad thing. But I did think you were like closer, like near my age, because I'll be 35 this year.
Okay.
So, but I did when you sent me your birthday and I saw it and I was like, oh, I will never forget your birthday because September 2nd is my brother's birthday. So I was like,
We're Labor Day babies.
Yes, yeah, September 2nd. That's how I used to say it. So I read it and I was like, September 2nd. Okay. So on the day Miss Blanca was born, I know you're from here in Phoenix, correct? And do you know what hospital you were born at?
I was born at St. Joseph's.
Me too. So these are the songs that were bumping in the ward that Blanca was born in. I'm just kidding. So, number 10 on September 2nd, 1979 was...
Little River Band, Lonesome Loser.
I don't know that song.
I don't know that song.
Never heard of it.
Number 9, Dionne Warwick, I'll Never Love This Way Again.
Okay.
Is this all right?
Yeah, this is it, dude.
Number 8 is, I'm like, I don't know how to the main event / fight by Barbara Streisand.
Got some non-bangers at the bottom. I feel like this is...
Number 7 is...
Sad Eyes, Robert John.
I don't even know who the hell that is.
The top 5 was way better. Don't worry, it gets better.
We swear. Number 6 is Lead Me On by...
Maxine Nightingale.
Number 5 is The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
The Charlie Daniels Band.
You know that song?
I don't.
The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
It's an excellent song.
And then there's actually like a really big punk rock cover of that song.
Yeah.
Number 4 is Don't Bring Me Down by ELO, the Electric Light Orchestra, which I'm sure, I just looking at the song title, I don't know, but I think if we played it, we'd be like, oh. There's so many songs that are Electric Light Orchestra songs that I don't know, and I'll Shazam it, and I'm like, oh, shit, okay, that's who it is, ELO. Number 3 is After the Love Has Gone by Earth, Wind, and Fire, so we're getting a little...
Okay.
She's all more my flavor all up right. in here. Number 2 is an instant classic that has been sampled many times, Chic Good Times.
Yes, I like it.
So let's guess what number 1 is. Just take... You got 2 guesses. What do you think number 1 is? So 3... Again, we'll just go back. 5, Devil Went Down to Georgia. 4, Don't Bring Me Down by ELO. 3, After the Love Has Gone by Earth, Wind, and Fire. 2, Chic Good Times. And 1 is, what do you think it is?
I don't know. 1979. I want to say there has to be something by like Donna Summer in there or the Bee Gees.
It's actually My Sharona.
What?
She's all like...
By the neck.
Everybody knows that song. So yeah. Do you prefer My Sharona or My Bologna by Weird Al?
I've never heard the Weird Al version.
I'm going to have to send it to you. So now, these are the top 5 songs of when you were 14 in 1983, and the number 1 song is supposedly supposed to define your life.
Okay, so number five, you have Donna Summer. She works hard for the money.
Okay.
Number four, Taco, putting on the Ritz. I don't know what the fuck that is. Number three, The Police, Every Breath You Take, the Stalker song.
Yeah, the Stalker song.
Number two, Maniac. Well, I don't know. Michael Cimbello?
Yeah, Cimbello. Imagine if that was your number one song.
She's a maniac. Jesus Christ. And number one, do you have any idea what, any guess?
This one's actually, just if 14? if you guess, you'll probably guess it because it's actually like an iconic 80s song and it's still, there's been covers of it. It's not like, I guess it's, but it's not like in the R&B lane.
No, then I probably wouldn't know it. No, I don't know.
It's the Eurythmics, Sweet Dreams.
Eurythmics, Sweet Dreams. She's like, okay, that's a jam. That's a jam.
It's a universal jam.
So do you remember bumping that? Did you play that when you were 14?
No, I can't say that I did. I was into the oldies at 14.
Oh, dang.
Then I got into hip hop. So.
Blanca Cholita over here.
I was.
So Blanca, as we previously stated, you're born and raised here in Phoenix. And actually, Ken is the one because he always hears me like, would be preaching about that, I'm glad that everybody else comes here and they're they love it, but it's like I want to bring people on the podcast that are like kind of from here, because I always feel like I know a lot of people that are like obviously born and raised here because I am and my family, but often I'll meet people and they're like, you're the first person, like I've lived here for 5 years and you're the first person that I've met that's actually like from here. So I always laugh about that, but I'm sure you, obviously, because your family and stuff, you know tons of people. So what part of it? You said you were born at St. Joseph's, and your family initially, like, where are they from here as well?
Yeah, my father is from Guadalajara, Jalisco. He met my mother, and at the time, they both lived in Golden Gate, what was called Golden Gate. So it's like 16th Street and Buckeye. So I lived there till I was about 4 years old. All my brothers, my siblings were, born and raised there. So at four is when the airport started displacing people. So we moved out to South Phoenix and kind of just been here ever since.
Because Golden Gate is considered the east side, right?
It is, yes.
And then you moved to South Phoenix. So in like your family, like what kind of environment was it, like music wise was there music around at all? Did you guys listen to the radio? Like what kind of music did your family play?
There was always music. I mean, as far back as I can remember, there's just always been music, whether it be my mom like cooking and she just has the music going, or cookouts, there was always music there. My dad, I remember, it's funny because I was thinking about this the other day, that my dad, I used to go with him to some park and swap or like a swap meet out in Avondale. And
La
now
Pulga.
That I think of it, yeah. So It was out in Avondale. I remember getting up like super early. I must have been like 8 or 9 years old. And now that I think about it, these were probably like bootleg tapes that he would go out there and drop.
Your daddy the hustler.
Yeah, he was. But yeah, we would go out there and he'd, make his little change on selling these cassette tapes. And they were all like Vicente Fernandez and, all the Spanish classics like Ramón Ayala, things like that. So
do you have any of those left over for yourself? Any of those bootlegs your daddy had?
I don't know if we have bootlegs. I know I was cleaning out his closet not too long ago and I did find like a pretty good stack of just cassettes and they were all Spanish. So I kind of stole those for myself. He doesn't use them. He's not going to miss them. He probably doesn't.
I inherited those. I didn't steal them.
Yeah, I inherited those. So, but I mean, as far back as I can remember, music has always been, around. My mom and dad had tons and tons of vinyl. And then as a kid, I know I used to probably mess all of those up because I got a record player at like 8 years old and would like want to play all their vinyl, of course, and probably scratch the shit out of all. Can I cuss?
Yeah, you can cuss in here.
Okay.
We're a sponsor-free, censorship-free podcast, okay. So.
You can't stop us from saying the word fuck.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would ruin them. I know I cracked a bunch of my brothers and sisters, like 45s, and now I regret them. So, like, I'm trying to find those again, so. Yeah, the music's always been a big part of like everything we do in our family.
So do you know why, though, your dad, since you guys lived in South Phoenix, and especially back then, like now, because there's the freeways, like, a lot more accessible, it's bigger and stuff like that, but back then, like, you'd have to probably drive the streets a good chunk of the way. Why did your dad drive all the way over here to Avondale? Because that swap meet is still going.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's called La Pulga. That's what they call it, and it's over there off of MC85 and El Mirage.
Yep, I'm sorry about my mom's.
His mom lives right behind that swap meet. There's a liquor store there, and then but in that whole, this is like a total like far West Side Valley like thing over here. But like that thing still, that swap meet still exists. So do you know why your dad though wouldn't go to the other one that's closer to you?
I don't know, honestly. I just remember it being in Avondale, or maybe I asked later on in life where it was, and he told me it was the one in Avondale, because, like, for recollection, I can't remember exactly where it was, or, like, I just remember that we used to go to it. Like, I don't know where it was.
Later on, I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to take a picture of the intersection, and I'm going to send it to
okay,
you.
Okay, sweet.
So you can see, so. But like you said, music has always been a big thing in your life, so do you have siblings? Like, did they show you any music and things like that?
I do, and I think my taste in music comes from them, because they used to love any and everything, honestly. I mean, other than, like, super hard rock, or like, well, some of my brothers like country. I mean, we really didn't really play country much in the house, but they loved like the R&B. One of my brothers loved like Madonna and Janet, and then my other brother like loved all the oldies, and I even stole his collection to dub them. But yeah, like it's just been a mixture of I guess you would call it, like, you know, just growing up Chicano, what you're exposed to is like a lot of like 70s soul, 80s R&B, all the oldies. And then on my dad's side, you know, I have had a lot of, like Vicente Fernandez, Ramon Ayala, and then my mom she loved like Little Joe and like the Tejano type music. So it was a mix of everything, really.
So on Saturday mornings when you had to start cleaning your house, because every Chicano family does that shit, what was always blaring?
So I would say it was mostly my mom playing, like, and I don't know what this would be classified as, but like Patty Drew, like she okay. loved like these women that had these voices and that just belted these songs, and she would belt along with them. And it was just beautiful, like, to hear it. Like, now as an adult, like I can appreciate it. Back then I was just like, what is she playing? This is so dumb, you know? But now I'll hear a song and it instantly reminds me of my mom, because she used to play like that. It was like heart-wrenching, heart-string-pulling, like 70s soul. And I love it to this day.
Yeah, I'm sure you didn't realize how much you were actually absorbing in at the time either.
Right, right.
So, is that your dad?
Yeah, sorry.
So ask him why. No, it's all good. So ask him why he used to drive all the way out to Avondale.
Dad. ¿Quieren saber por qué? ¿Te acuerdas cuando íbamos a las pulgas allá en Avondale? ¿Por qué íbamos a esa pulga y no aquí a los perros?
Porque aquí está muy caro todo y allá no.
No, pero cuando vendías. ¿Te acuerdas cuando vendías los cassettes?
Los espacios oh, okay. Son muy caros y allá no.
Okay, so he said, like, the spots, like, you know how you rent your space? Mm-hmm. They were a lot cheaper over in Avondale than they were here at the Phoenix, like, Greyhound Park.
Yeah.
So he was a smart hustler.
Yeah.
That's so cool, though. I'm glad he's there, though. I'm like, hi.
Yeah, he always intervenes in everything I'm doing, even when I'm trying to work, and on the phone, he just barges right in. So
you're like,
my dad as well.
Tell me, say hi.
This is Tony, better known as Young Bueno, as I like to call him. Young
Bueno. Oh my gosh. That's so cool, though, right?
Yeah, it's dope.
Yeah, it is super cool. So, ask him what kind of music did he listen to growing up.
¿Apa, quieren saber cuál música escuchabas cuando estabas joven usted?
Todo cumbias, rancheras y todo eso, menos reggaetón y quebradita y todo eso no había.
You hear him dissing? Can you hear what he's saying?
Yeah, we can hear him.
We can hear him.
Okay. If we're getting all that recorded.
Yeah, it's all recorded. Don't worry. But it's good. Like, this is fun, actually. Yeah. So this makes me feel more positive about doing it like this now, because it's like, if we would have done the podcast the traditional way and you would have, like, met us somewhere, we would have never had this moment. So.
Right. Yeah, so he's dissing on reggaeton and quebradita. He said, que no había esa cochinada back in his day. He's a very traditional Mexican man.
Nothing wrong with that. More power to him. So I have a quick, we're gonna sideline here. I'm gonna go back, but we're gonna sideline real quick. So did you growing up, because it's, I feel like, okay, how do we say this? Okay, growing up with, of course, Selena or whatever. So, like, I knew about her and I listened to her, and, like, my tata and, like, some of my friends in the neighborhood that I lived in were into her. But I feel like, were you into her when you were younger? Like, was it a thing? Did you know about her? Because a lot of people didn't at the same time. It's like a weird thing. You know what I mean?
It is a weird thing that we didn't know about her until after she passed. Like, I honestly, I think I did see her one time on TV, because, again, my mom and dad used to watch Spanish television, but it still wasn't like listening to Selena after she passed, or, like, you know, then she became, like, sensationalized I hadn't listened to her up until after she passed, and which is really sad to me. It's really, really sad that
you weren't happened. Exposed to that. You mean it's just like it would have been cool to just be exposed to that when she was kind of like still here, is in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. What is he saying? I can hear him, but I can't understand. So ask him, did he like Selena, or did he know about her? Like, ask him, like, when she was still alive.
Sí, ¿y usted sabía de la Selena antes que muriera?
No.
¿Te acuerdas el do you guys remember that show? What was it, Johnny Canales?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
No.
Okay, so my dad used to love that show. And I no salió Selena en Johnny Canales.
Yanni Canales salía aquí, pero en México no. Aquí salía Yanni Canales, la familia, digo yo, Latin Breed, era antes y después la familia.
Pero Selena no la conocías antes que ya después que murió. La Selena y los Dinos. No conocía música de ellas, de ella, ¿no? He's gonna keep going.
It's all good. Hey, it's great. It's all good to me. So, but I think it's cool though. Like you admit that, because I notice a lot of people, they'll act like they've been into her since like the beginning, which is cool if you haven't. Like, unfortunately, that, and to me, that's like the point of her legacy, is that she wasn't able to permeate into the main subconscious or conscious of like America, because she had those things going against her that she was a Mexican American woman, and they didn't feel like she was good enough to be front and center. Because this was before, like, you know, J-Lo, you know, everybody knows my feelings about, right, J-Lo, but, like, I have respect for her in a way, you know, but I'm saying this is, like, before all that, so it's, like, I feel like people don't understand, like, how, like, why her, like, it's not just, like, Selena the movie and, like, all that other stuff, like, there's so much other, there's, like, a stronger underlying layer to her legacy that people don't really understand, so, but.
Right, and it really speaks to, excuse me, the Tejano scene being saturated by men. Because we knew of Bronco, you know, we knew of Little Joe and the Latiniers and Little Joe y La Familia. We knew of those acts, but we really didn't see much of Selena before, you know, the whole movie and before she passed and things like that. I remember when she passed, I remember watching, I don't know if it was Primer Impacto, where they were like live in front of the hotel. But I just up before, I mean, I guess I kind of knew of her. I just wasn't into her, you know?
And it could be too, like, your age, because so let's see. So, okay, I have a quick question too. So, do you remember? Okay, so this is actually a question that I've asked somebody. So, here in the valley, like, right now, our what would be considered like our pop station would be like Kiss FM 104.7, right? Mm-hmm. But before that, do you remember like a true pop music station here in the valley?
No.
I don't either. And I feel like that affected maybe like our exposure to certain things that were like, because like the whole Spice Girls thing, like I didn't know what the Spice Girls was until like they were basically broken up. But and maybe it's because we didn't have like a pop radio station.
Yeah. And that's interesting too, because I know my niece was into like Spice Girls and NSYNC and things like that. I don't remember listening to them ever on the radio, but I don't know what her exposure to them were.
Yeah, I liked. Really weird. I liked NSYNC. I'm not gonna lie. JC's voice was so beautiful to me. loved it.
I'll let you know that I was at the Spice Girls concert, and I was like a senior in high school.
Aww, did you have fun though?
That's awesome.
I took my niece, but I'll tell you that I did have fun. It was pretty awesome.
Aww, you're a good Thea. See, look at you. You're the favorite Thea, huh?
I am.
You're like, I know my place, okay? So what radio stations did you listen to then growing up? Like, from the time where you could really remember that you had control of, like, what you were consuming and listening to. So probably that would be around that age, like, a 14-ish, right? Like, where you kind of felt more, like, in tune with yourself. So, like, what kind of stuff did you maybe expose yourself to or learn about? And how did you learn about those things?
I want to say the one that I listened to mostly was probably Power 92. That, for some reason, that one just sticks out. And it's funny because one of my friends, you know how, do you guys, well, I don't know, MB Writers, are they now?
Of course, Nasty Boy Click MB Writers? Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Okay, so you know the beginning of this song where it's like, Nasty Boy Click, I would die for you. Yeah. So there was like this big theme like between my friend and I, because one of us, I can't remember if it was she or I, but one of us thought it said Power 92 in that spot. So Nasty Boy Click Power 92. And we're like, no, that's not how it goes. But yeah, I think not Power 92 for some reason is the only one that sticks out in my brain. I'm not sure why. I think it's just age and I forget a lot of things these days.
It's probably just too, I think it with the, maybe the way we more grew up, because now we live in like a global society, so like everyone's like in tune to so many things at once that maybe they normally wouldn't be exposed to because of demographically where they lived. So like if you lived in like South Phoenix, West Phoenix, parts of East Phoenix, those are concentrated heavily like brown areas, black areas, stuff like that. So you like pretty much everyone listened to Power 92. But if you would go to a certain like a northern part of the valley, those kids would have no idea what we were listening to or what we were wearing. So it's weird now because all that style maybe that we were into then that was more concentrated to people in our areas is being worn by like everybody now. So and they're listening to the same music. So how did you, were you into like Run DMC and stuff like that? Did you ever get into that?
I didn't get into early hip hop. I got into hip hop after high school, I want to say. So it was like Wu-Tang Clan, it was Tribe. But no, I didn't really get into any of the early hip hop.
Do you remember the first record you bought?
I do. And it's funny because people always think like I've been collecting forever and I haven't been. I've only been collecting since 2012. And the first one I got was the heart-shaped Mayor Hawthorne record. Because I just saw it and I was like, okay, I definitely want that. I didn't even have a record player at the time. It was a heart-shaped record and I really liked it and I really wanted it. So I went out and got it. And then I think like maybe a week or two after that, I purchased the Amy Winehouse Back to Black. And then after that, it was just like, it was pretty addictive at that point. I was just like,
you found
I
a want drug.
Yeah. So then I got a little record player and then, you know, that's how my collection began.
So where did you buy the Mayor Hawthorne from?
I want to say I got it off of, Stone's Throw Records?
Oh, okay.
The website. Yeah.
So did you start like venturing out into the record stores in the valley ever? Like when did you kind of start doing that more?
No, after I bought that. Well, I did it more after I got my record player. But I did. I mean, I've been going to Zia and stuff and just looking through stuff, but not really purchasing anything before that point. Because I was like, oh, I'm going to have all these records and nothing to play them on, so what's the point? But something sparked in 2012, and that's when it began.
So what was your first concert?
My first concert?
And where was it at? Yeah.
Oh, wow. Let's see.
You can tell me it was Spice Girls?
No, that one wasn't my first.
She's like, NB Riders.
I want to say my first concert was Lighter Shade of Brown. And it was freshman year of high school. And it was somewhere in Mesa.
Mesa Amphitheater?
I don't remember where. What's that?
Was it at Mesa Amphitheater?
It might have been. I don't remember. I just remember it was in Mesa.
Did you ever go to like car shows or anything like that growing up?
I did. We went to go see Rocky Padilla at a car show. Do you guys know who that is?
Mm-hmm. I know who that is.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So we went. I've been to a couple, but I know my brother was heavily into like cars and things like that. I didn't go with him, obviously, because he thought he was too cool for school. They're a lot older than I am. But yeah, later on in, you know, my high school years, we went to a couple car shows, and one of them was just for the music.
So So you said the thing that drew you to kind of like the whole record thing was you just saw the Mayor Hawthorne record and you're like, that's cool. And you just like ended up just buying it. And then it kind of just snowballed from there.
Well, I really liked Mayor Hawthorne's music just because, you know, it sounded so like the oldies, basically. It's like, you know, I don't know what they call it now. Is it like
the modern soul? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm really bad with all the genres now.
Oh, it's hard. But, yeah.
Yeah, but I really liked his music, and then when I played it for my sister, she's like, oh, wow, who is this, thinking that it was an older artist, and, you know, I told her that it was somebody new, and she was really fascinated by it, too, so I, like, dubbed her a CD or whatever at the time, but, yeah, I just really liked his music, so, and then I saw that one of the singles was in the Heart Shape 45, so that's what made me want that.
Is there anything, like you said, your parents had records and like there was records in your family and you said there was 45s. Is there anything particular that you remember? Like, I wish I wouldn't have got rid of that, or that at least my family still had it around, like record wise. Is there any like record in particular that you remember?
There is one. I can't. Oh, Ain't No Big Thing. I can't think of the artist's name. It's an oldie. I'm drawing a blank as far as the artist's name. But I remember it was in the stack of 45s that I used to play on my little record player as a kid. And then, I got it older. Like, when I started collecting, I got a copy for myself. And then I actually found the original one in, you know, cleaning up my mom's house.
Cool.
So, yeah. Yeah, I found a stack of a bunch of her old 45s too, which I don't know any of the artists, but it's really interesting to listen to now, just to, like, there's music that she liked that I had no idea that she liked. So it's really cool.
Is it The Radiance?
Yeah, The Radiance. Ain't No Big Thing.
You want to play a little snippet, Andrew?
I can do that.
He's going to play a quick snippet to see if you can hear it. That's probably loud. That's a one? Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
So even as a kid, I loved that song. I don't know what it was about it, but I just really, really loved it.
Oh, that's cool. So did you ever, you and your friends, what kind of stuff, like, so when you were younger, I guess you could say, like, did you guys, like, hang out at the parks, or did you hang out just in each other's neighborhoods and your houses, or how was it, and was there music around then? Like, did you guys do, like, kickbacks or house parties?
Oh, we're gonna get into this topic, Drea.
Let's get into it.
Okay, so
it's history. School, it's history. Yeah, remember, so anything you say, the statute of limitations has expired, so it's all good. Okay.
Okay. So as a kid, we would just hang out in the neighborhood, and of course, there was always music. Like, I remember being maybe sixth, seventh grade, maybe even earlier than that, and JJ Fad, like, you know, JJ Fad was Okay, so wait, let me digress. So there used to be a house down the street where all the boys used to hang out, and they used to put, you know, the cardboard boxes out in the driveways and you know, B-boy and stuff like that. And then there was an older girl, her name was Rosalind, that lived down our street. So me and my friend Anna, who used to live two houses down, would go to her house, and she would play like raw bass and easy rock, and we'd do like choreographed dances. Like, I really wish I had video of this stuff, because it was like hilarious, the stuff that we do. But yeah, there was like those type of memories with music around, which is really crazy because I've never really thought about it till now, but definitely. And then as I got older, like, you know, we just thought we were cool. We'd hang out at the mall and castles and coasters and stuff. So I can't remember any music during that time of my life, really.
It's just, it was there. Like, you know, it was there. And if something comes up, you're like, I remember this, but off the top of your head.
Yeah.
So what mall would you hang out at?
At Metro Center. That was our mall, just because it was closed.
Did you pour one out? Because Metro's closed now.
I know.
Did you go to the last cruise?
I didn't go to the last cruise. I watched all the Instagram stories, so it was pretty cool.
Did you ever skate in the ice skating rink?
At Metro?
Yeah, I guess there was one there. I don't remember that either, but people talk. They're like, there used to be an ice skating rink there. I don't know.
No, I don't remember the ice skating rink there. I remember the ice skating rink at Tower. At, what was it called? Tower Plaza?
Where was that at?
I remember. It's off of like 32nd Street and Thomas. Well, was. It's not there anymore, obviously.
Oh,
but
I think it's called Polar Ice now, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah, I think the rink is still there, but I remember there was like a whole mall around it as well.
That's by the Arby's with the cool sign, right? It has like the old school Arby's sign. Have you ever seen that Arby's? Oh, it's like, remember, Ben?
Yeah.
Across the street from the Walmart.
Mm-hmm. Yep, right there. Yeah, that was Tower Plaza, and there was a Tower Records in there that my mom would always take me to. So that was, like, my thing, like, whenever I'd get good grades. Or just in general, like, instead of like, allowance, I would just have her buy me, like, singles that I wanted and stuff growing up. And then, I'll get to the part that you're waiting for, Drea, sure. Okay. So once I got out of high school, there was these things. Well, in high school, there was party crews, obviously. And I know...
I'm sorry. I love the history of the party cruise. I love it. It cracks me up in the best way possible. But go on. I'm sorry.
And I know Ken's gonna love this too. But yeah, there was a party crew phase, Blanca, and I was part of this crew that probably nobody even knew, because I think there was like three of us. We were pretty lame. It was called HEK, Hispanic Existence Crew. And I remember we would do like car washes and all this like fundraising. And one year we tried to bring out, well, we did bring out DJ Henry. I don't know if you guys are familiar.
DJ who?
DJ Henry. DJ Henry. He was a house DJ out of LA, I believe.
So how did you manage that?
What's that?
How did you guys manage to do that? Because you said you're in high school, or like we're just out of high school?
It was, yeah, just out of high school. So, I mean, the people that were in the party crew with, I had just been out of high school, but they've been out of high school, say, 3 or 4 years. So they all had jobs and things like that. But we were still doing, like, car washes and stuff to raise this money. We brought him out, and there was this place called The Dome, which is, I don't know if you heard of The Dome. No? Okay, so 7th Avenue, you know where the overpass is on 7th Avenue? Okay, so right underneath it, there was this place called The Dome. And it was just a little warehouse. It had, I want to say, 3 or 4 rooms. And each room, sometimes they had different DJs in every room. They had, like, the whole soapy party type deal thing going on there, too, in the summers. And I think it was Benny RC that owned it. So one year, we brought DJ Henry out. We paid all this money to get him here. And then the Dome got raided, like, an hour within.
Okay, so yeah, what happened? So everything was set up and you guys got there. Were you guys, like, all hyped? You're like, yeah, this is our party. Like, we're throwing this and stuff like that. And then what ended up happening exactly?
We were super hype. I mean, we got flyers for it. It was, like, official, you know, like, official. We got flyers printed. We were passing them out everywhere. And then... you know, he gets there, starts playing. It was house music. So people started getting there, you know, showing up. And I want to say it was about an hour into the party that the cops came and just shut it down. It was pretty sucky, but hey, it is what it is.
He got his money, so he's like, whatever.
Yeah, he got his money. And then I think we hung out with him afterwards. Like, we went to eat somewhere. but it was pretty cool. Yeah, so, that was like the extent of my party crew fame. After that, I was like, forget this shit. I'm not going to make all this money to bring people out. And then, like, you know.
So, okay. So then the next question, though, is something, it's either you're avoiding it or did you have a party crew name? Like, not the name of your party crew, but your individual name.
So. So, yes, I did. And my nieces make fun of me to this day because I have, like, older nieces that are around my age. And, they still call me Ecstasy every once in a while. Shut up.
It's so good.
Ecstasy of H-E-K.
Was it just with
and
the X?
It wasn't E-C-S. It was like E-X-T-A-S-Y.
Dang, getting all creative up there. Look at that.
I know.
So
I
know. Do you remember any of the other names of the other crews that you interacted with?
Ah, man, it's been so long. I don't remember. I remember in high school there was a crew of girls called the Hoochie Crew, and I thought they were pretty awesome. I knew some of those girls. I can't remember at this point in time, but yeah, in high school there was a bunch of them. I was in nursing when I was in high school, so I wanted to do all the party crew stuff, and I wanted to do like the radio broadcasting stuff in high school, but I was in nursing, so I wasn't even in high school half of the day. I was like at Metro Tech.
So what high school did you go to?
I went to South Mountain.
Okay, so Phoenix Union School.
Yeah, my freshman and sophomore year, I was at South Mountain full time. And then junior and senior year, I was doing nursing half of the time over at Metro Tech. So, yeah. So I didn't get to do all the fun stuff that I wanted to do because I pursued nursing at a very early age. And then.
It kept me out of trouble.
It did keep me out of trouble. And I think that was part of my mom's plan. She's like, you know what you want to be? You want to be a nurse. And I was like, well, I'm not so sure, but okay, let's do this.
So did you pursue nursing?
I got my CNA. I was about to graduate from my LPN, but I dropped it. I was like, yeah, no, this isn't for me. And now I kick myself in the butt all the time because, you know, I would have been 20 years deep in the nursing game. It's never too late. It's never too late to go back.
So after the whole party gear thing, it kind of... So do you feel like... Okay, as in, do you feel like it fizzled out and maybe just, like, those people that were into it just kind of, like, grew up and, like, got jobs and went into the real world and that's why it wasn't as strong anymore? Or what do you think it was that kind of, like, made that fall off?
Yeah, I think pretty much that's what it was. I mean, everybody grows up. You have a different set of responsibilities. You can't be spending your money on throwing these parties and, you know, outfits and platforms and bell bottoms and things like that anymore.
Do you have any pictures of yourself from that era and some cute ass outfits?
Nope. You and Ken will not get those. No.
Come on, girl. We need something for that flyer.
So then how...
I might have some. I don't know.
How did you get... So what made you... Like, because obviously... Like, you love all music, obviously, but what made you more drawn to hip-hop? Like, what made you drawn to that? And, like, can you remember... You said, like, maybe Tribe or, like, who... Can you remember a few artists that really, like, made you be like, well, like, I think this is my lane, like, that I'm really can, you know, get into?
I don't know if hip-hop is my lane. I mean, I love hip-hop, but I love R&B more than I can say that I love R&B more than I love hip-hop. I love soul more than I love hip-hop, but I do love hip-hop. And I think early on, it was just like all the things you were listening to in high school, right? Like your Wu-Tang, your Tribe Called Quest, your like Brand Nubian, your Diggable Planets, things like that. And then I got into like more of the conscious hip-hop, which was like Mos Def, Talib Kweli, Common, The Roots, Lauryn Hill. And I really like that type of hip hop, like the conscious hip hop. And then after that, so I don't know if you guys were ever on AOL, like the chat rooms and stuff like that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So like AIM, you had like AIM names and stuff. So I remember it on AOL is where I got exposed to like Jedi Mind Tricks and you know, what's the other ones? Let's see.
Just all that, know, like, just bubbling underground stuff sort of, right, things. So right. Did you ever go to any shows back then, like, in the Valley that were going on when the artists would come here? Or was it, because I feel like the promotion, I don't know, I feel like Phoenix is, like the Phoenix metro area is sort of weird in that way. Like you could have been super into it and listening to it, but you just didn't know if the artist was coming through, you know, like the promo wasn't right there.
Yeah. I still feel like that to these days. Maybe it's just that I'm not like looking in the right places or like following the right people on Instagram, but yeah. Honestly, during that time, I didn't go to many shows. I'm such a super introvert that I didn't go anywhere for a very long time in my life. I just started getting out like in my late 30s. So, but one of the shows that I did go to was like one of the Up in Smoke shows. I remember that. And this is because of my nieces, because one of my nieces really loved hip hop. She's like, let's just go. So I went with her. Then I think as an adult, like one that I did go to was Action Bronson. And I loved it. Like you get, you know, secondhand high. It's pretty cool.
You're all not complaining.
Yeah, not complaining. And then, you know, just last year we went to a bunch of shows. We went to Common, KRS-One, which I loved because it's kind of fun being like, you know, in your late 30s and early 40s and like actually going to shows of like people that you loved 20 years ago.
Do you think it's because
it's like a different vibe? It's not. It's,
there's freedom in your age. So because like I think when you're in your, for many people, like when you're in your teens and 20s, you're, I think, more self-conscious. Not even that you necessarily care what people think, but like as you get older, you're just like. We all have our own level of self-consciousness, but I think you just don't really give a fuck anymore.
Right. Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. It was just super cool because like everybody around you is like your same age group, so it's just super chill. Like people aren't just, you know, trying to cause trouble or just like being drunk and dumb, you know. It's really cool. It's just really vibing. Everybody's just kind of on the same vibe.
That's like, have you ever seen Mayor Hawthorne when he's come through here?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so we actually got exposed to Mayor Hawthorne because we went to go see Chromeo. Okay. I think this was like 2012-ish?
Yeah, it was around that time because he was promoting that 45.
Yeah, so we basically, we wanted to go see Chromeo. I was going to buy tickets, but I actually won tickets. And so the only person I knew on the bill was Chromeo. So it's like Chromeo, the French DJ, I think his name is Breakbot, I'm not sure. And then Mayor Hawthorne. And like I said, I only knew Chromeo. So we go there, we showed up, and we were kind of hesitant too because, you know, we had our kid young. So we're always like kind of on that level where we can't be getting all crazy. And we're like, we know this is going to be a bunch of ASU kids because it's at the Marquee. You know, it's all the way over there, way far east side. We're like, we'll go. So we went and we had fun. But then there was a fight at the show. Some girl got super wasted and started like fighting some dudes, remember? And she got carried out.
Yeah, it was funny.
It was just
stupid, but it was funny.
Yeah, just like, oh. But then we felt like a little out of our element because we're like, we were probably only a few years older than those kids, but I think mentally we're a little bit more further than that. So him and I were like, right, we're just trying to hang out and like enjoy ourselves. We're not trying to get all stupid and sloppy.
Yeah.
And like, but Mayor Hawthorne played that day, and there was one girl that was standing right in front of us. And the whole time, like I said, we didn't know nothing about Mayor Hawthorne. And I noticed she was like someone that was obviously brown, and she was just kept saying like, I love Mayor, like even when he wasn't out there, Mayor Hawthorne's the shit. And I'm like, who? And I'm like, what is Mayor? I thought it was like a band. I had no clue. Yeah. Neither did you. Yeah,
we didn't know anything about Mayor Hawthorne at that time.
We didn't know anything.
So it was this white guy singing soul music.
That's honestly, he came out and we're like, how corny, like at first when he came out and he's like, you know, with the band. But then when we actually saw him and like we're like, oh, he like actually put work into his show and like he's actually from Detroit. Like I was like, okay, like respect to this guy. And then, not gonna lie, like chick that was in front of me that was like all crazy in love with Mayor, like she made part of the show. She was like his like unofficial hype man in the crowd, you know. So and so it like we vibed well with us. So then that's how we started listening to Mayor, and we just kind of like went from there as well. But yeah, so I think it's funny that you bring up the Mayor Hawthorne thing around the same time, and now the whole modern soul thing. I feel like the queen of like the modern soul thing is definitely obviously Sharon Jones. I wouldn't call Mayor Hawthorne like the king of it, but now it's like a whole.
Yeah.
Do you listen to any of the modern, like any of the other modern soul stuff?
I've tried to get some here and there. Like I've got, what's the Parachute song?
The Lakesiders.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lakesiders, Parachute. I've got, I've got stuff here and there, but it's so hard to keep up with because there's just so much of it.
Yeah, and the Modern Soul thing like really, really took off. Like when we went on like our hiatus, it was already big, but it blew up even more over this past year. Yeah. To the point where people really are making like record sleeves for your 45s, which is funny to me.
Yeah. I really love Duran Jones and the Indications too. I think they're awesome.
Did you see Duran Jones when they rolled through?
No.
See, okay,
no,
now
I'm telling you, I'm following the wrong accounts because I don't know. When,
I'm like, when any of these people, it's because you're here. Not following me, Blanca. No, I'm just kidding.
I do follow you.
And you're like, you're a liar. Okay, so
just like scroll through that. I guess I don't really pay attention. I don't know what it is, honestly.
I know it's hard. Nowadays there's so much information to be bombarded with and everything that it's hard if you're not like purposely seeking out. Like, in a way, it's just, there's just, like, so much, it's easy to miss stuff. Like,
right.
We miss stuff all the time, too. So, what would you say is, what are you listening to right now, currently, that's, like, more newer? Are you listening to anything new?
Newer. I really love Snow Allegra. I really love all her music. I like her newest album. It's really good. Honestly, you guys, I feel so detached from music right now just because of all the things that are going on. Like, I don't really sit with music like I used to before. And it's, like, a really weird time. I don't know how to explain it. It's just, like, you wake up and you just try to get through the day, basically, right now. Because it's just so weird. Times are so weird right now that I haven't really been listening to anything new. I've just been listening to all my feel-good music and things that make me just kind of, like, forget about stuff and put me in a good mood. And so, no, I haven't really listened to anything new, honestly.
So how would you... Okay, so having the rec room and not doing it, how do you think it's affected you in a personal way? Because that's, like, an outlet in a sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. It's almost therapeutic to get out and just hang out with music that are kind of like into vinyl and into the same types of things you are into. I miss it. I'll tell you that. And me being an introvert, I don't say that often, like where I want to go and hang out with people, you know, like, but I really do. I miss it. I miss Ken. I miss the vibes. I miss people, like just genuinely good people that come out and just support us and just hang out and vibe out and talk about music. But yeah, I do miss it, and hopefully things will get back to normal if they ever do. I don't know, or maybe we could do something, you know, on a different platform.
Exactly, like a new normal, or you know, something. Mm-hmm. Especially, I think it's a lot harder here because it's so hot all the time. Half here, like we were kind of saying earlier before we started, it's hard to determine, like. It's just so hard to do so many things because it seems like from what we're seeing, you know, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a doctor, but it seems like there's less chance of things being, you know, spread to others or whatever if you're more in like an open outside environment, obviously.
Right.
But it's like here, it's harder to plan to do those types of things because
it's so damn hot all the time.
Yeah, you'll literally like get heat stroke if you're outside.
Well, hopefully... Yeah. I mean, if like, you know, depending on how everything plays out, I did talk about doing something online where it'd be similar to what we're doing right now, but like doing it like recording sets and like releasing mixtapes and stuff just so that way we can be involved. We know that Record Bar Radio is doing, they're hosting their YouTube channel thing every week. Shout out to them. Dre is actually going to be on their show this week.
Yeah, I'm excited. That's cool.
But, you know, there's still a lot like for me, for us personally. Speaking for myself, you know, it's still too sketchy for me to be like going like, I mean, like Dre's gonna be super safe, and I hear that they're super safe, so nothing on them. But like, even so, there's still people who just don't want to go anywhere, and I completely understand why, given the circumstances and given like how the numbers here in Arizona are like crazy. So right. We're still thinking about doing something different just to give people an outlet so they don't have to necessarily leave their house or they don't have to go somewhere and they just can be in their comfort of their own home.
Right. And Ken and I have actually talked about maybe like a Zoom call where we can all still share music, or maybe like on Instagram Live. We just kind of put a pin in it though, and we have to revisit it. But that's definitely something that, you know, that we were talking about. So.
Yeah, I mean, we'll that's see. Something. Yeah, we all. I think maybe we all can do it together or something.
Yeah, definitely.
Obviously, I have more than enough equipment to do something. It's not just record a podcast.
So I actually told Ken, I had messaged him and I was like, hey, I just want to let you know I peer pressured Blanca into coming on the podcast and getting interviewed. But he was like super happy and excited. So you got people out there that love you and support you, Ken and us. And I know there's other people out there. So I know you're an introvert and I get it. Like, I feel like Andrew's, what would you say you are? Do you say you're an introvert?
I guess you could say I'm more of an introvert, yeah.
I feel like I am introverted, but I know how to, like, be extroverted if I need to, sort of thing. And my daughter's a total introvert, so she's the type where she will crave, like, having contact with people, but then she's like, okay, I got my fill.
It's exhausting. Like, you definitely feel, like, exhausted after being around people for a while. But, I mean, I am an introvert, too. You know, to an extent, because then when I can really, like, bond with people or, like, have, like, a connection with people, then I'm cool, you know? But it's just, like, that initial, like, getting to know somebody that's, like, really freaking awkward for me.
Yeah. But I'm glad that you guys do the record room and that I know in some variation or form it's going to continue and things like that. So I look forward to that, whatever you guys end up doing. If you guys want our help or suggestions, of course, you always know that we're here. And with that being said, so did you do your top summer songs or was it cookout classics?
I did both, and it was really hard to narrow it down to five because there was just so many. But I did both.
Well, they're two you, so everyone's are. Do you think everyone's are going to be a little bit different?
Yeah, everyone's is going to be a little bit different, but that's the beauty of it because we want to see like what everyone's personal answers are because I think it'll give like a little snapshot or a glimpse into like that person's life in a way because like obviously most of the people everyone listening to the podcast is into music. So music. I was having a conversation with Coco from Grand Avenue Records recently and he was talking about how basically like music was the first language ever, like before we could really speak, you know, we can make sounds and bang rocks together, whatever. So it's like music is a very important form of communication. So I'm excited to hear your top five. So which one are you gonna do first?
Okay, so I'll do the family cookout classics first.
Mind you, we're not doing ours because we're going to be doing all of ours after we listen to everyone else's because we're going to compare and do something different, a little bit different.
Oh, okay.
So we want to hear yours. We want to hear yours.
Okay. So my first one was Brenton Wood, and I couldn't just pick one song because, you know, you had to listen to the 18 best.
Yes! If I had the Jamaican air horn, I'd be like, bang, bang, bang.
And then as my number two, I had Zapp and Roger, the Mega Medley from the Greatest Hits. Number three was There Was Always Some Cumbia. And the one that sticks out the most is like Fito Olivares, the cumbia mix. And I don't know if it was like a bootleg cumbia mix. Or, like, I don't know if it's just something that like my brother had or if
your
this
daddy
was, like,
made.
Something that was actually circulating and out there. But yeah, I remember Cumbia Caliente was the first song. I don't remember any of the others, but yeah. And then, of course, there was Earth, Wind, and Fire, and Love's Holiday was, like, the one that stuck out to me, because then that's when my brothers would be, like, so it would start off with, like, something, like, everybody was drinking, and it had to be, like, super vibey, and then, like, once everybody got drunk, they got into, like, that whole, what you youngins know about this phase? So then, you know, the Earth, Wind, and Fire would come out, and so I remember Love's Holiday and Reasons always being played at the family cookout. And then there's a very particular memory of Betty Wright and Tonight Is the Night because my sisters and my mom would make a makeshift dance floor like out of, I don't know, whatever we had in the backyard. And they would go up there and dance to all, 6 minutes of Betty's Right, Tonight Is the Night extended version.
Would they recite the, you know, at the beginning when she's doing the talking, my mom would always recite that damn, like she would sing the whole thing, but to the extent and recite it. And she'd be like, like doing all the motions.
Yes. And they'd just do the two step up until it got to like the actual music part of it. Yeah. So those are my top five of the family cookout classics. And then for my summer songs, for me personally, I don't know if these were released in the summer, but to me, they feel like summer. So I have Lighter Shade of Brown, Sunday Afternoon. Brotherhood Creed, Halava. Do you guys remember that song?
No, I don't know that one.
No? You don't remember that one? Okay. And then Lisa and Cult Jam, I Wonder If I Take You Home. That feels like summer to me. Mary Jane Girls, All Night Long. It's definitely like a summer vibe. And then my number five was kind of tied, and they're newer songs. I mean, they're not super new, but I have Beyonce's Party and A. Marie, Why Don't We Fall in Love?
Yeah.
Or like a tie for five. Those feel like summer to me.
Those are good ones. I love your list, Blanca. So good. I know the first time I saw you play at Rec Room, you played, and I was like, hey, this girl is my girl right here that she's playing.
This girl's playing my jam.
Basically. Oh my gosh.
That's funny.
Okay, so, well, this has been fun. Thank you so much.
It has See? Been. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you both for having me on. This has been really fun. I like it.
Yeah, we want to say thank you for coming on and hanging out with us for a little bit and telling us a little about yourself and putting yourself out there and enjoying the quarantine episodes of this podcast. if people want to talk to you, where can they find you?
Yeah, where do you want to be found?
Yes, where do you want to be found?
They can find me on Instagram at Blanquita Applebum.
One word? No, like under dashes or anything like that?
Yeah, no underscores, no periods, no nothing. Just one word, Blanquita Applebum.
And really quick, I feel like it would be a disservice to you if we did not mention your beautiful animals. So, what are your dogs' names?
I have three chihuahuas. I have my viejita, who is Pepper. She's going to be 14 years old. And then we have Frankie and Honey, which I got at the same time, and they were both puppies, and it's been quite an adventure. So, yeah, those are my little babies.
So if you do follow Blanquita Applebaum on IG, you'll definitely see her cute little babies on there. So there's a lot of goodness on her Instagram. She posts records and music, and she posts her dogs, but she also posts other little tidbits that are just really cool. Like, really quick, was that a birdhouse that you made with the taco truck?
Oh, no, I bought the taco truck birdhouse. It was a Instagram ad, actually, and I was like, ooh, this is cute. I went on there, and they had, like, tiki bars, they had taco truck, and I was like, this is super cute. So I got it for the front of the house. Let the neighborhood birds enjoy it.
The birds deserve tacos, too.
Well, again, thank you so much, Blanca. We really appreciate it. I always say the greatest thing that you can give someone is your time. So thank you so much for your time. It's, you can't get back time. So, and thank you to your dad for being a good sport and letting us steal you and actually talking to us. So that was a beautiful moment. And hope you guys are doing well and you guys are staying safe and that you guys are just, that everything's good because we're living in weird times and, so, yeah, you know where to find me, you know where to find us. It's at Just Keep Spinning Podcasts on Instagram. You can follow us pretty much on, if you want to listen to us on any type of podcast platform, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. What else, Andrew?
Pretty much anywhere. If you can, leave us a review. That helps.
Yeah, you can email us also at justkeepspinningpodcasts@gmail.com to say you love us, you hate us. And that's pretty much it. So don't stop digging and just keep spinning.
Thanks, guys.